and we always feel really welcome here, and we do feel a part of this body, and glad to know that you feel a part of what we're doing around the world in different places. And so the next venture, we always seem to be on a new adventure, the next venture for us is Quebec. And some people ask, well, why Quebec? And why Canada? And so there are
point that so much of the identity of both of them, so much of their sense of purpose in life was tied to their jobs or to the place that they lived. So much of their sense of value and worth were tied, especially for him, to the fact that he was an excellent farmer and very successful at it. And he could not conceive of any other life apart from that. And so if the marriage was to split because the wife didn't want to be on the farm anymore, so be it, because I couldn't do anything else. And that spoke to me of a much deeper problem, where I said to him, what is your identity, actually? Like, where do you derive your identity? What do you see yourself as in God's eyes? Because I said, if all you see yourself and your worth and your value and your purpose in life is that of being a farmer, of producing grain and producing cattle, and those are the things that are central to your existence, that's all just going to end one day, and it's really going to have been meaningless. But I said, if you see yourself as a child of God that is called to bear the presence of Jesus Christ, as someone that is sent into this place, that has a gift in farming, that has an ability, that can support ministries, that can speak, be an influence of Jesus Christ in the community that you're at, I said, now that's an identity worth having. And I said, I really want to encourage you to find out what your identity is. Because I said, if you guys find out what your identity is, if it is found in Christ, then it really won't matter where you live. And it won't matter as much what you do for a living, because God can give you the ability to make a life wherever he takes you. And the solutions that you need to make this marriage work will be a lot easier to find than simply two people that are completely opposed in their focuses in life. And so I just want to encourage you to find out, what is my identity? For me, I found that working in Burkina Faso for X number of years as a missionary, I found how easy it was to tie my identity to what I did and to focus on what I was doing rather than who I was. Focus on the things that I felt I could accomplish. Focus on how I could please people, or how I could, maybe see something birthed or grown in a new area, a new church plant, or different things. But all of them were focused on what I did and not who I was in Christ. And the Lord actually brought me to a point where I had to go, okay, if I change, if God moves us on from this place, and I'm no longer tied to Burkina, and I don't even know what God has ahead of me, what calling he has on my life, what mission he's going to give me next, I need to find out who I am in Jesus Christ. And so there is that identity of ambassador, and we have the privilege, this privilege of inviting people to encounter God. That's really easy when you put it that way. We just all we have to do is invite people to encounter God. We don't have to manipulate people. We don't have to force people. We just have to live Jesus Christ out before them daily and say, I would like you to come and meet God. And that was one of the fun things about doing Alpha in France. And I've never tried it. Well, we did it once in Caribou Road in an English atmosphere, but it was mostly believers. It was preaching to the choir anyway. And it's not the same experience. It was kind of just a trial. But working in France, we found that the Lord was bringing people that came from agnostic or atheistic or Roman Catholic backgrounds with strong tradition but no real belief. And as I've shared with you before, the typical French response is, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a believing, non-practicing Christian. And only in France can that make sense, right? Not true. I think a lot of times we live as believing, non-practicing Christians. But to have these people come into an Alpha, and all Lauren and I had to do was provide the invitation, was provide meals, was open our home to people and have them come in. And with Alpha, as you know, you have to just kind of learn to shut up. which is really hard for missionaries. You have to learn. You have to learn to be quiet and allow God to speak to people. And I found something really impressive, really shocking, was that God actually does speak to people. Excuse me. And that I didn't have to explain everything for them. The Holy Spirit was actually there in the process throughout speaking into people. And so we just became facilitators. And sometimes we actually became observers. And that was a lot of fun. Just to see God speak into people. Just being facilitators. Just introducing themselves. And it was amazing how they would, just of their own accord, begin to turn and ask you questions. What do you believe? And you go, well, what do you think they're saying? Well, yeah, it seems to be this is what the Bible... What do you believe? And so with time, we just began to share more of our own testimony and faith and see these people come into reconciliation with Christ. It was as easy as that. And I think many times we complicate... I know I've complicated and grown up with a very complicated approach to evangelism and feeling in some way I had to push people to meet Jesus Christ. And it's a snowball. When a person meets Jesus Christ, when a person's life is transformed, they begin to talk to their relatives, they begin to talk to their friends, they begin to talk to everybody they know, and those people begin to ask questions. And it is amazing to see. And so you are sent ones, as John says. We talk about apostles in Scripture. Well, in a sense, every single one of us is an apostle, because that just means someone who is sent. Someone who is sent as a messenger. And John, Jesus said in John 20, I send you. So in a sense, every single one of you is an apostle. And if there is a role for someone like myself and Lauren, it's just simply the fact that we have maybe cross-cultural skills, we have linguistic skills, we have an ability to live in different circumstances. And yes, there is a specific calling that is apostolic in nature. But when you look at it, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, the role of people like ourselves that God calls into a full-time ministry is not to do the ministry of God per se, but to equip you to do the ministry of God, to help you become apostles, to help you recognize what that is and what that entails. And so we've just found it very exciting to say, wow, what an amazing privilege. This is a lot more fun, just recognizing who we are in Jesus Christ and how we can just live out that role. And it doesn't require near the amount of work that we thought it would. But it was simply saying, I would like you to meet someone by the name of Jesus Christ. I think, too, we need to regain a sense of wonder in understanding how powerful our presence is. We found that ourselves, we didn't realize that when the Holy Spirit lives in us, that there is... Not just in our preaching and our teaching, not just in maybe the things that we do as we speak to people or how we transmit the gospel, but there is a presence of God just simply in our daily lives as a family, as a couple, as individuals, in our homes. There is an anointing of God that is on that. And we don't recognize how present that is. But as we walk with God in obedience, and as we walk in transparency, you will invite people into your home and see that they'll be touched by something. And as I said, we did this Alpha. And first we got to France, and we wanted to carry on kind of the traditional way of doing evangelism that we'd practiced in Africa, that we'd known and been trained in North America. And we got there, and really there wasn't anything to tie into. And it was really hard to initiate anything right off the ground, because the rules of the country are even quite strict about some things that you can do, but the suspicion of the people was such that it was hard to do anything. And we just found ourselves being locked down by God. I describe it as being locked down, just kind of compressed, and not being able to do the things that we would naturally want to do, the way that we would naturally react. And really the Lord brought us down in the opportunities that were available. He brought us down to a simple place of making friends with people. And people would never come to a church service. They didn't even like to, many times, or most people, talking about faith is a taboo subject that's reserved for someone that is actually close to you and intimate. And so you can't just really talk to people in the streets, or if you do, it becomes very confrontational, and it's not productive at all. And we found that when you invite people into your home, there's something else that happens. There are barriers that drop. And we finally said, okay, Lord, if we can't do this and this and this, then we're just going to focus on building relationships with these people and then allow you to work out of that. And that is exactly what happened. That as people got to know us because we were in the art club, we bumped into them in the streets, we shopped in their stores, we chatted with them in line at the cash register, we would give people rides home because, an alcoholic or someone like that, or take a guy to a food bank that had need, didn't have a way of getting it. Just these little things of friendship, of relationship, began to open doors for people to ask more questions about why we were there. And the first question is like, why in the world did you ever come here from Vancouver? Because they've seen documentaries about Vancouver, and they all think it's kind of basically heaven, right? And we were living in northern France, which is very industrial, and we could understand it was a very ugly landscape, and these people could not comprehend why we'd leave Canada, and especially why we would leave Vancouver. And so there would be a door that would be open. And we don't recognize, too, how when we invite people into our homes and just offer them hospitality and love and friendship, that they are baffled by the love and the peace and the joy that they will encounter and sense in our homes. Because to us, that's natural. We've grown up with God in our lives. And those of you who maybe haven't been believers for a long time, you have noticed a change in your home. You've noticed changes taking place. And it becomes very natural, and we don't recognize how powerful that is, that presence. And so I just want to encourage you, in a society like our own in North America, how I just mentioned in one church how we used to invite people to our homes after the church service on a Sunday when I was a kid. And so no one ever actually went hungry on a Sunday. There was always, a big meal afterwards in someone's house. And then later on, we began to invite people to restaurants, and now we've gotten to the place where we do coffee. And so there's something that's happened in our society that is not necessarily bad, but it has disconnected us from relationship and prevented us from inviting people into our homes. And so I want to encourage you to look at your home as a place of ministry, as a tool of ministry, and begin looking at ways that I can bring people into this place and I can love on them, where they can sense peace, where they can sense something that is so different and begin to hunger after that. And we found that people would comment on that constantly and say, how is it? What is it that's different about your home? We love coming here. And we even want to encourage you to open your home to people who are in need. We had people that we were discipling, a woman that we were discipling, and it so happened that she had to move out of the place where she was. She was in the middle of a transition. And we said, look, come on into our home. Come live with us. And she came and lived with us for 6 months. And some aspects of it were very tough. It requires sacrifice. You have to give space. You have to allow that person to have their space. And somehow you have to find yours. And the kids have to adjust their lives. But that was a powerful, powerful thing in that woman's life. And that opened up the opportunity, the doors into her friend's life, because they would go, why would they do that for you? They're not French. They haven't known you that long. Why would they do that for you? And so I come to a nation and to a city, and I don't know it's so much here in North Vancouver, but, especially in over where we are across the river, we got houses that are 3,000, 4,000 square feet with two people living in them. Maybe this is a tool that God has given you. Is there someone that is in need that you can bring into your home so that they encounter the presence of Christ? The power of God. The power of being an ambassador. Do we really believe that God is supernatural? Do we really believe that God transforms lives? We grow up saying that we do, or at least we do in church. But in reality, I don't know if we always lived it out. We're believing, non-practicing. If we believe that God is actively in the process of working through us, and that his power is available for us to do his work, I think when we grab onto that, it changes something. It should change something in us. It should change something in us. And I see as Jesus sent out the disciples, he said, go and deliver people that are oppressed. Go and deliver those who are demonized. Go and pray for those who are sick. And that probably isn't our natural reaction most of the time. when we encounter someone who's sick, we'll talk about the doctor, we'll take him for help, we'll sympathize with the person. And I just find myself doing that, and then the Spirit just says, well, just stop and pray for them. Stop and pray for this person and believe and ask me to do something, because if you don't ask me, I don't do it. I've placed you there as my ambassador. Pray, ask me to do something in that situation. Depressed people. Boy, talk about people who are oppressed by spirits. You know, I mean, I believe there's medical, clinical depression, but how much more is there spiritual oppression in people's lives, where often it's just a process of going through with them and breaking those bondages as we pray through them, as we share what the gospel says, what Jesus says about them, what God feels about them, and seeing people just released as we put the power of God into action. And the last thing is prayer. Henry Blackaby, in his book, Knowing God, I believe it is, said, God is at work all around us. God is at work all around us, and our job, our role, is to be simply watching and listening and saying, okay, I see God at work in this situation. I'm going to join in with that. And that seems so simple to us, but the reality is, again, often we don't look for where God is at work. And we try and create something. And we try and force something. And the soil may not be right. And the fields may not be getting to a place of maturity where they can be harvested. And in the meantime, the Lord is saying, but wait over here. I've got some really good soil right here. Go seed there. I've got some wheat that is coming ripe here. Why don't you go harvest over there? And so many times I recognize now how God says, I'm at work and you need to be sensitive to see what I'm doing. Because as you're sensitive to those things, you will see fruit produced out of that. I was struck in Genesis 20. I don't know if you remember the story of Abraham. Just as he looks at his wife, he goes into this city. He's got this beautiful wife. He's afraid he's going to get killed and she's going to get taken away from him. So he lies and says, this is my sister. And the Bible says that Abimelech, the king, takes her as his wife. And then God visits him in the night and speaks to him. And the guy's terrified, right? And God says, you know, what you've done is a bad thing. And if you don't change this, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to destroy your kingdom, destroy your people. And Abimelech says, God, I did this in good conscience. I didn't recognize that she was married. And God says, yes, I know you did it in good conscience. That's why I'm warning you. That's what I'm telling you, to change the situation right away. And Abimelech does. But as he goes to Abraham, he says, what were you doing? Like, what were you thinking, O man of God? You know, he didn't say that. Chosen father. What were you thinking? And Abraham says, well, you know, when I came and saw this kingdom, I looked at it and I thought, surely there's no fear of God in this place. I find that fascinating, because here Abimelech has been talking to God. And God's been talking to him, and they seem to know who each other is. And Abraham comes in and just assumes that he knows God and that there's no fear of God in this place. That that God wasn't at work in that setting that he'd let him into. And so that really spoke to me about the fact that so many times I can look at a situation and not think that God is active in that. I can look at a messed up life and go, there's no way. There's just no way that life can be changed. So I'm going to target something that is simpler. But if we listen to the Holy Spirit, he tells us how to pray. He shows us who to pray for. And Lauren and I just found that we began to pray very, very differently as we began to change the way that we prayed, as we began to just ask God, okay, Lord, you've got us in a situation that all the king's horses and all the king's men can't change, right? This is a difficult society. It's a difficult setting. And we don't feel really, really well equipped to break through, you know, intellectually or whatever. We haven't necessarily got the goods, right? We're not going to win by arguing the existence of God. And so, Father, we need you to direct us to the people and the situations that are prepared by your Holy Spirit and that are ready for you. And we found that as we did that, our prayers would begin to break things. Our prayers would begin to shift things. our prayers would begin to release things, releasing the power of God into people's lives. And it changes the way we pray. It changes the way that we view situations. And we found that prayer became just a lot of fun. It wasn't this arduous thing anymore where, you know, we really got to set aside a half hour of prayer and, you know, I got to do this and we're going to agonize on our knees. But no, it actually began, Lord, you know, so-and-so said this to me at the post office. There's a need that's being expressed and I pray that you would break in there and set up a rendezvous for me so that I can speak to that person about who you are. And the Lord begins to do it and he begins to shift and move and change things. There was one guy that came into our Alpha. He was the postman. His name was Philippe, and he was such a mixed up guy. He was such a mixture of different beliefs and systems. And it was like, oh boy, you know, we've been in 10 alphas and he still hasn't figured it out. But we found that Philippe would talk to us about the problems he was having at work, or Philippe would talk to us about his dad who was ill, or Philippe would talk to us about his obnoxious neighbors that were partying till 2 in the morning and they spoke English, and that made it even worse. And I think there are Brits coming over to party. And so we just, can we pray for that? Oh, okay. Yeah. And we would pray. And the next week, Philippe would come and go, oh, what was that about? You know, he'd come and say, oh, the party stopped. They're not partying anymore. He'd come and he'd say, in my workplace, the tensions have dropped. And the boss came and spoke to me about this problem or this problem or this issue. And it was so exciting just to see simply as we began to pray for very real needs in these people's lives that God was at work in their lives. And God was beginning to reveal himself to them. So I want to encourage you, you who are the ambassadors of Jesus Christ, you have been given the privilege, you've been given everything you need to just simply introduce people into this life of being reconciled with God. Come, be reconciled with God. Come meet this person who has changed my life. And it's so much more fun. Well, in the end, Philippe, he never did give himself to the Lord during our alphas, but we found out a couple months later while we're back in Canada that he went up to Sonia, the pastor's wife, and they'd gone on from doing alpha onto doing a discipleship course they called Alpha Plus. And so basically, they didn't know what else to do. They just took them to a baptismal course. And Philippe went up to Sonia one day, and he says, don't tell anyone. I'm not ready to tell anyone yet, but I've signed this commitment card. So it was just simply the Holy Spirit working through this man's life steadily. He would constantly be drawn to us and say, what is it that's different about you guys? What is it? I don't understand it. Can you tell me more? And we would pray, and God would work in his life. So, Lord bless you, apostles, sent ones. Just want to say thank you so much for the prayer and the love and the prayer and more prayer. Please pray for us in Quebec. We know we desperately need it. And yet we believe that God is going to move in people's lives as a result of those prayers that are behind us. So thank you very much.
Let's stand together, shall we? It is really, 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 really easy to lose the sense of wonder just by routine, just by not expecting anything. You know, you get in out of a service. You get exactly out of a service what you put into it. We're surprised at that, but it just works that way. And I know this, that if you, it starts, first of all, the wonder of God. I prayed just the other day, Lord, maybe not lose the wonder when I read your word. Even if I've seen it before, I say, Lord, I'm going to look for the things that are just wonderful in that. God of wonders, right? And then we can lose the wonder of people and we just see faces and people with lots of problems instead of saying, Lord, help me see this as an opportunity to be used of you. You know, in the book, The Celtic Way of Evangelism by George Hunter III, talks about St. Patrick, who evangelized all of Ireland changed it from pagan to Christian. And one of the things that they said they always that everyone looked for was the authentic sign. You know what the authentic sign was? Love. They knew that when they displayed the authentic sign, that it just broke down every barrier and everything because they just were loved by St. Patrick. They'd come in and live and stay among them and eat with them and fellowship with them, and they would see that authentic sign. If people don't see the authentic sign, you're just flapping your gums. Right? You're going through religious things, trying to coerce people into something. But that divine love, that wonder of God's love, that's the starting point. And making friends. I mean, how have we made this thing so complicated, right? But we can make friends. We can open our home. We can have people in. It was just a matter of preparing ourselves. And so why don't we make this as a point of prayer? The prayer team, please come. And those that need healing this morning, you should come. Brother Claude, I think you should come for prayer this morning. He's felt a ringing in his ear. How many know that's just a terrible thing to have a ringing in your ear? So Brother Claude, you come. We'd like to pray for you. He's a faithful brother. And he speaks French. We got somebody who speaks French here. But Claude, you come for prayer here. He said, I said, how are you? He said, not so good. He said, I've got this ringing. And, you don't answer the doorbell. There's nobody there. It's just ringing. And it's a very torturous thing. And so you guys lay hands on him and trust God for a healing in his life. He's a really faithful brother. But for the rest of us, maybe you're not coming with any physical need or any emotional or mental need. You just are sitting here as maybe a bored Christian. And you need to step into the excitement area. Because I tell you, I in my own heart and life, I'm so easily bored and easily excited. But I know this, that I have to have a fire under me all the time. And then I'm fine, feeling good. But if I just catch it and realize there's nothing happening here, then God is speaking to my own heart about making every day count, building relationships. So what we're going to ask you, if you'd like to come and stand here and say, I want the wonder of my life. And Patrick, it's always good to have you. I'm going to get you to pray over us if you would come. I want the wonder of your God, the wonder of your word, the wonder of who you are, and the wonder of these people, these mysterious people that God's bringing in our lives. See, there's no real boring people. If they are, they really got to work at it. People are quite fascinating. And you have to anticipate, say, God, I'm anticipating this week of you using me. I'm going to be in the right coffee shop at the right time. I'm going to stop and help somebody in their car, and I'll be in the right place. Not to try and get a witness in, but to be a witness. Just to testify of the love of the Lord. I find that when I do something kind for people, I'm tempted to they say, oh, it wasn't me, it was the Lord working. No, they don't need to hear that it was the work. If I have to tell them it was the Lord working through me, what is that about? But what about this week? What would happen in the weeks ahead as we go into now to June, July, August? What if we came back every week and we said, oh, you won't believe what's been happening. The Spirit of God just led me and I wasn't even anticipating it. It's just what Bruce was saying. It's why we were created. God never intended that we'd come and go through a church service. See, this should be the lowest point of your week. The rest should be the exciting thing, right? This is because God didn't say, okay, now I'm going to save you and fill you with the Holy Spirit so you can come week after week after week after week after week and hear Owen or hear Bruce or hear somebody. No, no, no. The point of it was that God said, I'm going to use you in my kingdom and you'll be blown away by the wonder of it. Just to think of what could happen. This is, if you've lost that excitement, if you're not expecting anything, come down here this morning. Let Patrick pray over us so we can say, light a fire in me. I don't want to go to heaven bored. I want to go excited, shouting. Help being, oh, in somebody, and somebody come into somebody's life. Be able to slip my hand in their soul, run my hand around the edge of their soul till they come to a hurt or a need. And be able to say, can I pray for you? The God I serve answers prayer. Can I pray for you regarding that hurt? Watch what God will do. It's more up to the Holy Spirit than it is for you to create this. But by faith, to believe that it can be different. So, you see, welcome to your mission field. Not many of us are going to Quebec, but all of us are here trying to understand the culture, trying to get a hold of what are people, how do people act here where we live, so we can show the authentic sign and be genuine. Oh, and not worry if they go to church or not. The fact that they're in your living room or you're sitting across from you in a Starbucks, that's the wonder. Don't worry about the church service. That'll all be in due time. It's just building a relationship, a genuine one, doing something with somebody. So, Brother Patrick, come. Would you like to come and stand here just as an act of faith? Yeah, I'm going to stand. I want the wonder. You don't have to stand. You can stand where you want. But if you, I just find it's helpful when I come forward and say, Lord, I'm presenting myself here. Anybody else? Just come and stand. Amen. Please pray.
Feel free to put out your arms before the Lord. Father God, you are wonderful. You are full of wonder. You're awesome. You're tremendous, Lord. We thank you that you are who you say you are. You're the living God. You are living. And today we come before you. Lord, we many times have lost the wonder. And for those of us this morning that have lost a sense of the wonder of who you are, God, Lord, we're sorry, God, that we have made other things more important, even the Canucks and things that are going on in our world. But Lord, we today, on this day where the Canucks are even playing, we declare that you are more wonderful than anything else, Lord God. And I pray in Jesus' name that you would burn the fire inside of us, that we would know the hope to which you've called us to, and the love that's inside of us would radiate and glow and move into our workplaces and our schools and into our homes like never before, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, we're so sorry that we have become more preoccupied with ourselves and other things, God, than with you. And today, Lord, again we come before you and awaken, open our eyes again, afresh, anew, to a new depth of wonder in your love. And Lord, that we would see even this week that you are at work in so many places. Lord God, open our eyes to see those places and give us faith to be able to walk into and to be able to bring the life of God into those places and to believe that you are a healing God. You are a miraculous God. Lord, you are wonderful, full of wonder. We entrust ourselves to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Patrick. Oh, thanks for being here this morning. Come out to the patio and enjoy the fellowship and talk to Bruce and talk to Lauren and just extend your fellowship to them and let them know you'll be praying for them as they go. Thanks so much for being here. God bless.